Going well. Hopefully you're not too cold out there, right? I know I am, man. Freezing my tail off. But anyway, if you would, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 this morning. Yes, as Brother Bob said, Pastor is in New York, so apparently it's colder there than it is here, more snow and whatnot, so... Luke chapter 22, and if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word, I'm going to read beginning in verse number 54, and then we're going to continue on with reading a few more verses after that. All right, Luke chapter 22, verse number 54, the Bible says there, Then took they him and led him and brought him unto the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity again that we have to be in your house. God, we thank you for the great God that you are to us, and how you take care of us each and every day, Lord. We know it's cold out there, but we thank you for keeping everybody safe and warm. And Lord, we just pray you would give us a good time together in the next few moments as we gather around your word and try to learn some things from it. Lord, we pray that, God, you would speak to our hearts, that you would make it very clear to us that what you desire from us, what you expect from our lives. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of my sins. I don't want anything that I do to hold back what you're trying to do right now. I pray you would fill me with your spirit, control everything that I think and say and do. And Lord, also just focus me on the scripture, Lord. I don't want to be distracted or be thinking about anything else except what's going on right here, right now. I need your help. I pray that you would just give me everything that I need, Lord, and help the folks that are here today. We thank you for them coming to church. We just pray that you would please help them to listen, pay attention to your word, and get something from it. Lord, help it to be a blessing to each individual today. Whatever they may need, whatever they are going through, Lord, we know that you can fix that and you can help them with it. So we pray that you would through your word today. And Lord, just help them to see past me and hear the message from you. We love you, Lord. Help your word to penetrate our hearts and all the other things that we're dealing with, Lord, and get down into the core and deal with us where we need it, Lord. Thank you again for all that you do. We love you, Lord. Bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It's a pretty familiar story how the Apostle Peter had denied the Lord three different times. In Luke chapter 22, that's basically what is going on. Jesus, earlier in the chapter, he has the Lord's Supper, and then he predicts back earlier in the chapter that Satan's going to come after Peter. He tells Peter, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." He's telling Peter, "Peter, pay attention. Peter, get ready. You better get close to me. The devil's coming after you. He wants to sift you as wheat." And I would say that applies to each one of us today. You know, there is a devil that's coming after us. He desires to have you. That phrase always catches my attention there, Brother Walter. He desires to have you. He wants to possess control of you. He wants to be able to control your life and move you around how he wants to. And what's the end result of it? That he may sift you as wheat. In essence, he's going to rip you to shreds. That's what happens. That's what the devil does to lives, by the way. But he predicts that that's what's going to happen to Peter. And Peter says, "No, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. God, I got this. I mean, I got my King James Bible. I got my nice suit. I love you, Lord. You can see that. There's no way I would turn my back on you." Jesus says to Peter, "Before the cock crows this day, you're going to deny that you even know me three times." And then different things happen. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying there, and he's saying, "Not my will, but thine be done," to the Father. And he's agonizing, sweating great drops of blood, and all the different things go on. And then Judas and the band of men come to arrest Jesus while he's in the garden. And that's what happens in section verses 47 through 53. They come to arrest Jesus there in the garden. And Peter gets a little bold right there, pulls out his sword. We believe he's trying to whack the guy's head off, but somehow he has a bad aim. He whacks the guy's ear off. Okay, guy's name was Malchus. Whacked his ear off. And Jesus, in essence, says, Peter, stop. He picks up the guy's ear off the ground, sets it back on him, and heals him. If I was Malchus right then, I would go home and be like, guys, I'm gone. All right, my ear just fell off. And then this guy put it back on, and it's good. I'm going home. I'm done. All right? Hope you guys have a good thing with the arresting and all that, but I'm done. I'm done. Whew, I have had a long day, to say the least. All right? But they continue. They arrest Jesus. And I want to draw your attention to verse number 54. I believe this is very important today, what we're going to deal with. Verse number 54 says, they took him, talking about Jesus. They took him, they led him, and they brought him unto the high priest's house. This is after Jesus has been arrested, and he's going to these different trials. These trials are all a mock. They have no real charges against him. How can you have a charge against somebody that's never sinned? You know, he's God in the flesh. But nevertheless, they go through these mock trials, these kind of made-up, put-on trials, and they come up with phony charges, and eventually Jesus is going to die on the cross for our sins. But verse number 54 says, they took him, they led him, they brought him unto the high priest's house. And notice what it says about Peter. Peter followed afar off. Peter followed afar off. As I said, Jesus had just been arrested, was on trial. He's about to be crucified. The pressure is being turned up on the disciples, as Brother Steve referenced on Wednesday night. This was a very difficult time. It tells us that all of the disciples, not just Peter, but all of them fled. They all, in essence, turned their back on the Lord in his toughest hour. And what a sad thing that is. But the pressure is being turned up on these disciples. And because Peter followed afar off, he fell. He fell. Three different times, he denied that he even knew his Savior. Verse number 56 is the first one. It says, a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. He's there warming himself with the different people because it was a cold night. And earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. This little girl, it says a maid, she comes out and she says, this guy, he's with the group that's surrounding Jesus. He's with him. He belongs to that group. Just a little girl. Can you imagine that? But Peter's scared to death on the inside. Says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. In verse number 57, he denied him saying, woman, I know him not. Girl, I don't know what you're talking about. All right? In essence, this is what he's saying. The second time, in verse number 58, it says, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that guy. And then as time goes along, verse 59, in about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I am not, I know not what thou sayest, and immediately the cock crows. The last time, I was reading in the different Gospels, the third time he denied the Lord, it was actually a relative of that guy, Malchus, that I was talking about. It tells us that, I think in maybe the book of John, it was a relative of the guy that got his ear whacked off, Malchus, okay? I'm pretty sure you would know if your relative had his ear whacked off by this guy. You know, I think you would remember that face, you know? It'd be like, aren't you the guy that whacked off my relative's ear? You're the guy. I saw you there. Yep. No. I don't know what you're talking about. Swing your arms real quick. You're the guy. You got a bad aim. You're the guy. All right? You would think he knows what he's talking about. Peter, again, denies, though, and the Bible tells us in a different place. He cursed and he swore. He cussed a blue streak and said, I don't know what you're talking about. I swear, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes into all this. What a sad thing. And then right after that, in verse number 61, somehow the Lord, who is on trial right then, turns and he looks at Peter. And it broke Peter's heart like that. And he realized what he did. And in verse number 62, it tells us that he went out and he wept bitterly. That's a tough story. That's a tough story. But I think we can learn a lot from it. You know, folks, for us nowadays, it's not popular to live for God. It's not popular for us to talk about Jesus, the Bible, church, whatnot. More and more, as our society progresses, that is becoming not the end thing, but the total opposite of that. Nobody wants to hear it. Most of the time when we knock on doors and talk to people, the predominant response we get back is, I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. Stay away from me. I'm not interested. Don't talk to me about it. That's mainly what it gets. And it's getting more and more that way as time progresses, time goes along. And it's hard. The pressure's against us. It's not popular. And the pressure is getting turned up. It's increasing more and more. And it'll only get worse as time goes along. But I want to preach to you today about the danger of following afar off. Amen. Folks, listen, I believe there's a lot of Christians where, I'll get into this in a moment in more detail, but yes, you're a follower of Christ. You are a Christian because that's what it means. You're a follower of Christ, but you're not as close as you should be. And hey, all of us can fall into this. I don't care if you've been coming to this church for 20, 30, 40 years. You can, as time progresses, you can kind of slip back. You can regress in your Christian life, and you cannot be as close to the Lord as you should be. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You know why Peter fell? Because he was following afar off. He wasn't as close to the Lord as he should have been in that moment when the pressure got turned up. And because he was following afar off, he fell. I want to preach to you today about the danger of following afar off. I want you to see in this, following afar off, number one is this. He was away from being close. He was away from being close. Verse number 54, it says, then took they him and led him, brought him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. There was some space. There was some separation in between Jesus Christ and Peter. There was some separation. There was some distance, if you will. There was some room that he could have made up, that he could have gotten closer to the Lord. But for some reason, Peter wasn't as close to the Lord as he should have been. As they arrested Jesus and as the soldiers are around and as they're taking him away to be put on trial, Peter's kind of loosely connected to it. He's in the background. He's keeping his distance. He's not up with him. You know, I mean, I know we're weak and we have troubled times, but you know, if I was there in that day and I was in that time frame and I knew what was going on with all of this, I would have wanted to be right by Jesus' side. I would want to be right with him and saying, I stand for him. Whatever you do to him, I'll take it too, because he's mine. He's my Savior. I love him. That's what we would all want to do, I would say. But Peter was following afar off. You know what it's like? It's like when you're a teenager and you're not old enough to drive yet and you want to go to the mall. That's a popular hangout, you know. Let's go to the mall. You going to buy anything? No, I don't have any money, but let's go to the mall, okay? You just go to hang. You just go to look at stuff and then get thoughts in your mind of what you might buy when you actually do get money, which is never, but whatever, you know. That's fine. But you can't drive yet, so what do you need? You need your mom to drop you off there, or you need your mom to take you to the mall. You know what I'm saying? Mom, can you take me to the mall? Okay, fine, I'll take you to the mall. You need your mom to take you to the mall, and you need your mom to take you back home after you're done being at the mall. But you don't want to hang with your mom while you're in the mall. You know what I'm saying? You know, you with me here? You need your mom. I mean, there's no other way you're going to get there unless she takes you there and takes you back home. But while you're there, you don't want to be like, hey, mom, let's go chill. Let's go stroll through the mall. What's up, everybody? That's my mom. Hey, say hi, mom. You know, you don't want to be like that. You know why? Because she's going to embarrass you. Your friends are going to be around. Hey, Tom, what's up, man? Hey, guys, what's up? Your mom's going to, son, your hair's out of place. Mom, what are you doing? You know? Are you going to be walking by a store and your friends are over there? Hey, good to see you. And your mom, look, son, they have a special on underwear your size. Let's go get some. Mom, cut it. You got to be kidding me. You can't do stuff like that. My friends are here. You need mom to get you there, and you need mom to get you back home, but you don't want to hang with her while you're there. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. Some of you, we need Jesus. There came a time in your life you realized you were a sinner on your way to hell. And you realized there was no other way to fix it. There's church attendance won't fix that. Baptism won't fix that. Trying to be a good person, trying to help people out and do whatever you can, that will not fix that. You can read the Bible. You can pray. You can do whatever you want. You can give money to the church. But that will not fix the problem. Only Jesus can fix the problem. And you needed Jesus in your life to save your soul so that you don't have to go to hell. And you need him to take you to heaven one day. But while you're on earth, you don't want to hang out with him. You need him. Without him, you're on your way to hell. And one of these days, you're going to need him to take you to heaven. But while you're here on earth, you want to keep your distance. You know what that amounts to, folks? Sadly, that amounts to following Jesus afar off. And I fear that a lot of people, if we don't watch it, we can fall into this trap of following Jesus afar off. It's a dangerous spot to be in. Somehow along the way, as they were leading Christ away, Peter just kept his distance. He didn't want to be too close to the crowd. He didn't want to be too close to his Savior. because he didn't want to be identified with his Lord. He wanted to keep his distance. As I said about the mall, if your mom's walking her merry old way, you're going to keep your distance. You're going to keep your distance. Son, aren't you coming? I'm there, Mom, I'm there. And then as soon as she turns her head, I'm not there, okay? I'm there. And you're just keeping your distance, keeping a nice, you know, when you're driving, you keep a nice cushion there, right? You don't want to slam into a bumper or anything, you get me, all right? You're keeping your distance. And I feel that's what a lot of Christians are doing. There's some space. There's some separation. Hey, before we get any farther, how about this question? How close are you to Christ today? Amen. Well, a couple years ago, we're not talking about a couple years ago. We're talking about now. Because the devil might be pinpointing you right now to come after you with the pressure, to come after you with the temptation, to come after you with that trial that you've never faced before. And if you're not close to the Lord, you're in a dangerous predicament. Dangerous spot to be following Jesus afar off. Amen. There's some space. There's some separation. You know, you start thinking, why is that? Why do we have that space? Why do we have that separation, that distance between us and the Lord? Well, for some, I would say it's shame. Maybe that's an intentional move by you. Maybe you've kept your distance. You've kept your space for a reason. You don't want to be identified with him. You don't want to be too close to him. Yeah, you'll come to church every once in a while, but you're not going to be faithful. Hello? I love you folks. I'm telling you the truth, though. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. I tell the guys this all the time, and we all need to hear this. Listen, just coming every once in a while isn't going to get you anywhere. You need to be faithful. I understand things happen. I understand people get sick, and there's circumstances that come up that you can't make it. That's fine. I understand that. But you need to be here. You want to be close to the Lord. I want to be close to the Lord. The Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know what that says? When we're having church, when we're all gathered up together, assembled together, don't forsake it. Don't turn your back on it. Amen. Don't abandon it. When we have church, be here. Amen. He was away from being close. There was a space. There was a separation, some distance. And for some people, that's because of shame. It's an intentional thing. You make a choice, an intentional choice, not to be too close to the Lord. You want to go to heaven when you die, and you want God to bless you, hopefully, but you're not going to go too hard after that. You're not going to be fanatical. You're not going to be extreme. You're not going to be faithful to church all the time. You're not going to be in your Bible every day begging God to show you something. You're not going to be on your knees asking things of God. And folks, I'm not trying to kick you while you're down. Believe me, I'm not. But I am saying it's a dangerous spot to be in to be following Jesus afar off. It's a dangerous spot to be in. We're going to get there in a moment. I believe if Peter was close to God, he wouldn't have denied him. But since he was following afar off, he was in a dangerous spot. And Jesus is trying to warn him. But for some, it's an intentional move. You don't want to be too close to the Lord. For some, it's not intentional. Maybe you've just slacked over time. Maybe other things have gotten in the way that you didn't notice, that you didn't pay attention to. And over time, other things have crowded in the way to where if you were to think about it hard today, you say, you know what? I didn't mean to. I didn't make an intentional choice to stay away from the Lord, but this happened and then this happened and then this happened, and I look at my life and, man, I'm not too close to the Lord right now. You may be away from being close. How close are you to Christ today? He was away from being close, number one. I want you to see, secondly, though, he was afraid of his connection. He was afraid of his connection. Not only was he away from being close, he was following Jesus afar off. There was some distance, some space in between him and the Lord that he needed to make up. But number two, he was afraid of his connection. He was afraid of it. Verse 55, we read some of these verses already, but it says, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they sat down together. Peter sat down among them. So Jesus is taken into the high priest's house. They're being put on trial, being slapped and ridiculed and questioned about what he believed and where he stood. But Peter's outside, and this is a cold night. Peter's no fool. He doesn't want to freeze, so he's up near the fire where everybody else is. He's trying to warm himself, and he's over there by the fire. And as time goes along, people start to accuse him and say, hey, you were one of those guys that was with him. You were in his group. You were one of his 12 disciples. And three times Peter said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. I don't know what you're referring to because I don't know him. Listen, folks, the devil was setting Peter up. We talked about it earlier in the chapter. Jesus said the devil desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He saw that Peter wasn't close to God. Can you imagine? Peter's just doing something innocent. He's not doing open sin right now. He's just over there warming his hands, warming himself because it's a cold night. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what? I've had times in my life where it was something I was dependent on to do. I had to do it. It was something that I needed. You know, I couldn't skip out of it. I couldn't not show up. I had to be there. And it's just a normal, everyday activity. But maybe you wake up late, you can't read your Bible as much as you would like to that day. Maybe there's been a few days like that recently to where the distance starts to grow between you and the Lord. You know what? The devil knows what he's doing. He's a very smart individual. He'll come after you at those moments when you're not close and when you have to do it. You can't get out of it. You have to show up to that meeting, or you have to go to that place, or you have to talk to that person, or you have to take part in that activity. You have to be there. But the devil's got his pinpoint laser scoped on you. He knows what he's coming after. He sees that you're weak. He sees the chinks in your armor, and he's going to come after it with all he's got. He was away from being close, but he was afraid of his connection. I mean, as I said in verse number 55, he's just warming himself. It was just a normal activity. But he was weak on the inside. And he was around this group of people. And as time goes along, the devil set him up, and the devil will set you up.
Yes,
sir. Let me tell you something. If you're not close to the Lord, the devil's going to work it out, as I said, to where it's a meeting that you can't miss at work, or it's something at school that you're required to go to, or it's some friend that you really want to impress, and it will go on and on and on, and it's something that you can't miss, that you can't take part in. It's just a normal activity, but the devil's going to set you up. He sees that you haven't been in your Bible lately. He sees that you haven't been praying like you should. He sees that you've been missing church here and there, and he sees that you're not close to the Lord. You know how it usually works out? There's a bunch of people around that you would like to impress, or you would like to think well of you, and the devil sees that you're not close, and that's a dangerous spot to be in. There's no defenses. There's no guard up. There's no security blanket. You're there all by yourself, and the devil is coming after you. That's dangerous, folks. That's dangerous stuff. And he'll put the pressure on you. He'll put the pressure on you. Verse number 56, it says, "A certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him, said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'I know him not. I don't know Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about.'" Denial number one. Verse number 58, "After a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not. I don't know what you're talking about. What is up with you people? You keep thinking I belong to this guy. I'm in his group. You're wrong. You're crazy.'" Verse number 59, "In about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed," again, this is the relative of the guy he cut the ear off, saying, "I'm pretty sure you're the guy that whacked off my relative's ear. You look like that guy." Peter goes off cussing and swearing, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I do not know Jesus Christ." He denies him. He'll put the pressure. Listen, the devil was putting pressure on Peter right here. Coming after him. The devil's coming after him with all he's got. You ever think about this? What is it when he denied him? He's not just saying no. In essence, I looked up this word deny. He's saying, "I disown him. I disavow him." He's saying about Christ, "There's no connection between me and Jesus. I don't belong to him. I don't belong to him. There's no connection. There's no relationship. There's no attachment. Nothing. I don't know him, never talked to him. He's never changed my life. He's never done anything in me. I don't know what you're talking about." He's denying him three different times. You ever thought of that? Why three times? Why couldn't it have been just one? Has there ever been an instance in your life where you haven't stood for God like you wanted to? I know I've been there before. Some times where you could have said something or you could have done more, but you didn't and you felt bad about it. You ever wonder why it's three different times with Peter? I think the devil's trying to defeat him right then and there, folks. He came after him, and he saw that he was weak, and he got him one time, and he said, "Let me get him a second time, and let me finish the job. Let's put him down so he'll never get up." That's what he's trying to do to Peter. You ever think, why does he come after him three times? Because he's trying to finish the job. These repeated attacks, he's trying to finish. He's trying to put him down and so that he can't get up. By the way, the devil has no mercy. Listen, you let him, This is why we get so frustrated, teenagers, because we tell you, don't listen to this music and don't watch this stuff on TV and stay away from certain things on the internet. But you continue to go after it and go after it and go after it and go after it and say, Miss Jerry, you can tell me what you want. Brother Tom, you can tell me what you want. But I'm going to do what I want to do. Let me tell you, you can do what you want to do, but you know who's in control ultimately of your life? That's the devil. And when the devil has control of your life, he's not going to get his grimy hands around your neck and then let go. Once he has control, he's going to take you down. But why won't we listen to that? Why won't we hear that? Listen, the devil has his foot on your throat. He's not going to let off. He goes for the kill. He has no mercy. And a lot of times with the choices we make, we give the devil the opportunity to take us down. Symbolically, we put the gun to our head, we load it up and say, here you go, devil, please don't shoot me. We're kidding ourselves. We're kidding ourselves. Listen, you cannot shove that nasty music in your mind and expect it not to affect you. You're crazy. You're crazy. You can't have those words in your mind, that beat in your mind, some of those artists that... Listen, by the way, you say, what's wrong with my music, Brother Tom? Why is it so bad? It's against God's word. Right. It's totally against everything you hear every Sunday from this book. It advocates wrong. It tells you to do wrong. It encourages you. It pushes you in that direction. And then it abandons you when you're wounded. Listen, if you do follow what it says, if you do act out what it teaches you and what it encourages to do, you to do. Let me tell you something. Beyonce is not going to be there to help you. Jay-Z doesn't care about you. And all the rest of them we could go into. Listen, you follow what they say, you end up in a bad spot. They're not going to be there to help you. You know why? Because they don't care about you. Amen. Jesus does. We do. Yes, sir. And we're trying to help you with this stuff. But Monday through Saturday, that stuff's preaching to you. And then we get one day out of the week. They get six. I wonder who's going to win. I wonder who's going to win, the devil or God. Let's give God one day a week. Well, maybe not even one day a week. One day a week every couple weeks. And then the devil can run off 20, 30 days in a row. And we think it's no big deal. Folks, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. You might be away from being close today. And you might be afraid of your connection. He's setting you up. The devil's setting you up. He's going to get you in a predicament where you're all by yourself, no church people around you to encourage you and to help you, nobody there to strengthen you and help you stand. It's something you have to do, something you can't get out of. And he's pinpointed you. He's going to come after you with all he's got. He sees that you haven't been in your Bible recently. The devil doesn't know everything, but the devil can watch us and learn. And he sees when we don't read our Bible. He sees when we don't care during the preaching. He sees when we turn it off mentally. And how about this? He sees what we do the rest of the week. So that when you're weak and in that vulnerable position, he knows. And he's going to try to finish the job on you just like he did with Peter. He didn't stop at one. He didn't stop at two. He wanted to hammer the nail in the coffin one after the other because he wanted to finish Peter once and for all. Because the devil, again, doesn't know everything. But he saw that Peter had potential for God. Hey, as Brother Steve talked about Wednesday night, not too long later, thank God that he can take those of us that even have followed him afar off every once in a while and we've tripped and we've fallen down and we've denied him. He can take even somebody that weak and that broken up and use them to do great things. Thank God. Thank God. That's not us. That's him. And he used this same Peter that denied him three times. And he gets him back and gets him right. And then on the day of Pentecost, he preaches and 3,000 people get saved, baptized, and join the church. That's working right there. Hello, I'll take that any day of the week. He was afraid of his connection. He was away from being close. He was afraid of his connection. And the devil was trying to finish Peter, defeat him once and for all. Last thing is this, number three. You'll be ashamed of before Christ. You'll be ashamed before Christ. As we looked at, there was some distance between Peter and the Lord. He was following afar off. He was away from being close. He was afraid of his connection. Every time they came up to him and said, don't you belong to him? Aren't you connected with him in some point? No, don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. Mm-mm. I don't know him. I have no relationship with him. No connection at all. But number three, and this is probably one of the most important ones, you'll be ashamed before Christ. At the end of this story, after he denies, listen up, folks, all right? We're going to end this on a high note, and we're going to try to help you with this. But this is a dangerous spot to be in, and we can all fall into it, no matter who you are, where you come from. But when you're afraid of your connection and when you're away from being close to the Lord, you'll be ashamed before Christ. Verse number 61. As we talked about, he just denied the Lord three separate times. Verse number 61 says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. I don't know if you have this in your life. I know with my father, who died a little over 4 years ago, anytime he would be disappointed in me, Willie, and he would give me that look, I knew, man. I knew. It would crush me inside. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to lay a hand on me. But if he would just look at me, and I knew that he was disappointed, that shattered me on the inside. And I believe that's what Peter's going through right here. It says the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He looked at Peter. Can you imagine the state, what's going on here, the scenario here? Jesus is locked up. Jesus has soldiers all around him. And they're accusing him and they're trying him at his trial there before the high priest. And Jesus is locked up, bloodied and beaten already. He had already, I believe, gone through the scourging, if I'm not mistaken. He had gone through some of these beatings, and no doubt when they came and arrested him, some of these things had already happened. Spit on, mocked, cussed at. And Jesus is there, bloodied perhaps already, with soldiers all around him, armed to the teeth. And somewhere, I don't even know how it happened. Maybe there was a window, Brother Dan, I don't even know. Because it says Peter was outside. But somehow, Jesus turned and his eyes met with Peter. He made eye contact with him. And right then, Bob, that got shoved into Peter's heart. And right then and there, he realized what he had done. Let me tell you something. You deny the Lord now, it may make you a little more popular with your friends. It may be, Brother Bill, it may even turn out good in that situation, that scenario. Maybe they'll like you more. Maybe they'll accept you more. Maybe whatever, they'll be cool with you now. But I tell you, folks, one day, you're not going to be so happy you made that decision. You're going to regret it. Might not be now. Might not be when you're young. Might not be for some of you adults now at your job. But one of these days, you're going to look back and you're going to hate the day that you denied the Lord. You say, well, yeah, but Peter had to got the stare down by Jesus. Anybody would be intimidated by that, and I believe you're right. But you know what? The Lord's going to return one day. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day Jesus is coming back. We don't know when it is. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be sometime this week before it snows anymore. Please, Lord, help us out, all right? But it could be at any time. He's coming back. And let me tell you something, after he comes back and takes us home to heaven, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Right. There's going to be a day when Jesus' eyes will meet your eyes. You're going to make eye contact one of these days at that judgment seat of Christ. And folks, let's live in such a way to where we don't have to be ashamed. To where when he gives us that look, he's not disappointed. He's not hurt because we didn't live for him. We didn't stand for him. Listen. God asked this to the Jews back in Isaiah chapter 5. What more could God do for us that he hasn't done already? Nothing. Amen. Has he not given you enough love, enough mercy, enough grace, enough power to live for him? Has he not told you enough out of the word of God? Amen. What more could he have done? Nothing. Amen. He's given us everything. If he did any more, it wouldn't be our choice anymore. We'd be robots. Exactly. we'd be programmed. Praise God, all of that. But God doesn't do that with us. He gives us the choice. He gives us the Bible. It's our choice to read it. It's our choice to obey it. He gives us a connection to Him, and we can pray if we want to, but it's our choice. He gives us a good church to go to, but it's our choice whether or not we go. It's our choice. And He's going to return one of these days, and you're going to see Him eye to eye. And we hope you don't have the same reaction as Peter when Jesus was locked up, but He gave a little glance to Peter, and it shattered Peter on the inside. In that moment, if you have been following Jesus afar off during the majority of your life, when you meet Him eye to eye, let me tell you something, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. You're going to realize what you've done. It's not going to be so cool then. It's not going to be so fun then. It's not going to be the popular thing to do then. Because when you're staring down Jesus eye to eye and you realize what you've done against Him, you're going to regret that. And I will too, if I don't live for Him. Again, this is for all of us. We can all follow Him. Brother Walter, all of us can, with time, lose track of where we are with Christ and kind of start to follow Him afar off. We better wake up today and say, God, if I'm not close to You, I need to get back now. Hey, don't put it off. Don't put it off till the summer, till youth conference, till this conference, till that conference, till next vision night. Forget all that. Let me tell you something. If you're not close to the Lord, if you're following Him afar off, get back today being close to Him. Don't waste time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Your life is a vapor. You appear for a little moment, then you vanish away. While you have the chance, while you have the opportunity, while you're sitting in church today and God has spoken to your heart, respond to what He says and say, God, whatever You want me to do, I'm there. I'm there. And let's get to work on it. He's going to return. You're going to realize what you've done and you're going to regret it. I hope you take the warning today. Let me tell you something. It's not worth it to follow Jesus afar off. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. I don't care what the crowd says at your school or at the job or in your neighborhood. It is not worth it to follow Jesus afar off. Not worth it. You'll regret it. Last thing before I'm done, because everybody's kind of like, whoa, Tom, this is difficult. You know, I gave you some strong medicine today, and I understand that. What's the remedy for it? How can we fix this? How can we be what God wants us to be so that when we stand before Him, it's not going to be the guilt trip. It's not going to be we're ashamed and we're shattered on the inside. How can we fix that? How can we keep this from happening? What's the remedy for it? The Bible always tells us throughout the book of John, in John 15, 9 times, it says abide, 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 abide. You know what abide means? Stay close. Amen. Stay close. Abide with the Lord. How about this? In John chapter 15, 9 times it comes up, but how about this verse in 1 John 2:28? Check this out. Listen to this. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. How about that? You say, how can I not be ashamed when Jesus comes back, when I stand before Him? What can I do so that I won't regret my life and the decisions I've made? It tells us right there, abide, get close, and stay there. Stay close. Abide, advance. Always try to grow, progress, move forward in your Christian life. How can you keep from slipping back, from slacking on the Lord? Always try to grow. Always try to keep that distance very close, very minimal. Listen, when you wake up tomorrow, read your Bible. Pray. If it hits your mind later in the day to pray for something, pray for it. Hey, it wouldn't hurt you to read your Bible other times than just in the morning too. Woo! Oh my. Read your Bible more than just the morning. Yeah, yeah, it's still there. Actually, if you open up, the words are actually still there. It's amazing. It's not just the morning, okay? It's still there, and it'll still help you. It'll help you. Advance, grow, learn stuff, and put it into action. Listen, if God's touched on your heart about something, if it's soul winning, giving out tracts, inviting people to church, living modestly, living pure, getting rid of a certain type of music or dress or whatever the case may be, do it. Do it. He's giving you the command. What's going on? What's the problem? If He's giving you the command, let's follow it. Listen, and the last thing is this. Jesus is your all in all. He'll help you live for Him. You say, I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. I don't have the energy. I can't do it in myself. You're right. You can't, and neither can I. But He can do it through us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Anything God wants you to do, He's going to give you the power to do. Now you just have to use that power and live for Him. Listen, folks, don't be guilty of following Jesus afar off. Don't be in that dangerous spot. Listen, maybe for some of you, you've done this. You've fallen. You've denied the Lord in your life. Or maybe for some of you, you never denied him as of yet, but you're in danger of it because you're not close with him. Listen, God's not done with you. You're not stuck in that position, that situation. He's not done with you. You're still alive. You're still breathing. He's still giving you another chance to make something of yourself. But this is a serious choice. Hello? This is a serious choice. And you know what we call on you to do today? We call on you to follow Christ closely. Amen. Don't follow him afar off. Because if you follow him afar off, you're in a dangerous, dangerous position. You're away from being close. You have some space, some distance, some separation between you and the Lord. You're going to become afraid of your connection. Do you go to that church? What church? I don't know what you're talking about. That crazy church, they preach the Bible all the time, keep you all late, you know, scream and yell at you. That church, I've heard about it. No, man, you nuts. You must be thinking of some other guy that looks like me, right? You'll become afraid of your connection, and the devil's setting you up. He's going to get you in that situation. He's going to get you with all the people around you that you want to impress. He's going to get you with the people you want to be popular with. And he's going to pinpoint in on you, and he's going to bring the pressure, and he's going to turn it up, and he's coming after you. And once he gets his foot in the door, he's going to try to bust it all the way in. He's going to try to finish you once and for all. Hey, and the worst thing about it is, if you do deny the Lord, if you do follow him afar off, one of these days, you're going to be ashamed before Christ. May not be now. May not be a year from now. There's going to be one of these days you come face to face with the Lord and you're going to be ashamed. You're going to realize what you've done and regret it. But it doesn't have to be like that. Aren't you glad? It doesn't have to be like that. Listen, abide. Get close to him. Stay close to him. If you are close to him already, stay close to him now. Don't lose track of that. Don't start to slack and start to chill in your Christian life. Don't let that distance start to mount up. Stay close to him and continue to advance. And you won't be guilty of following Jesus afar off. Because when you follow Jesus afar off, it's a dangerous position. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity once again to open your word. Lord, thank you for the things that we can learn from it. God, pretty stern warning from the life of Peter that we shouldn't follow you afar off because it's a very dangerous and hazardous place to be in. God, we pray that you would speak to each and every heart today. Help us to see how this message applies to our lives. Lord, help us to see how it fits in and what we need to do so that we can get close to you and abide with you and not be in this position of following afar off. God, please help every person that's in this room to get close to you and to stay close to you. No one looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to ask a couple questions real quick. Is there anybody that would say, Brother Tom, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Please keep your heads bowed and eyes closed if you would. But say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, that I'm going to heaven when I die. But I would like to know that. We're not going to embarrass you, I promise. And we're not going to call you out or anything like that. But we would just like to pray for you. Is there anybody like that? Say, I don't know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But I would like to. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. We won't call you out. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Takes a lot of courage. I appreciate that. Anyone else? All right. Hands down. Is there a Christian you say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I got that all taken care of. But in my life, some of the things that were talked about from the message today, God spoke to me about, and I need help with those things. I need God to help me not to follow afar off. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? You say, God spoke to my heart. I don't want to follow afar off. Good, I appreciate that. There may be more. If that's you, please, we want to pray for you. We want to help you. Don't you want God to help you so that you don't have to follow afar off? All right. If everyone would stand to your feet. The piano will begin to play. We're going to open up the time of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, come and do business with him. Come and pray and say, God, help me. I want to be close to you. Have things started to stack up? Are you not as close to him as he used to be? Let's have that not be the case. Let's be close to the Lord. Abide in him. He's been too good for you, good to you, for you to have some distance between you and him. God's taking care of you, provided for you, taking care of your family after all he's done. Let me ask you this. Do you really, really, really want him to have to give you that look of disappointment when you see him one day? I sure don't want that look. Why don't you get it right now? If we can help you with that, let us know how we can do it. Why don't you come and respond to the Lord? Say, God, I need help in this area. I'm struggling with this. I'm not as close to you as I should be. I'm kind of afraid of my connection to you. I don't want to be ashamed before you. We love you, folks, but in loving you, we have to tell you some difficult things sometimes. But it'll help you. If you take it and react to it properly, it'll help you, I promise you. For some of you, you know that Jesus saved you, and you know one day he's going to take you to heaven. But how about on earth? Are you close to him?